I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Spartans and Wolverines, define a successful season.
I think for Michigan, people will laugh at me, I think 9-3 and getting into the playoff, which they could at 9-3, that'd be a successful season. To use your word, failure, I'll go my 8-4 would be my buffer. 7 or lower would be a failure.
You think an 8-win season would not be a failure for Michigan this year?
Based upon what they're losing offensively, no.
What's with you in this buffer, this like fence that you like to, because it's success and failure. You win or you lose. Either they did it or they didn't. Either they achieved the goal or they didn't. And I know failure is a harsh word for some people, but it's part of life. Failure is part of success. You have to fail sometimes before you succeed. For Michigan, if they don't make the playoff, to me, that's the barometer.
You know what? It's like, look, there's two types of grades. There's the pass fail. So if you want to use that, yes. But there's also a grading system.
Is this what you would do as a substitute? You'd have your
nuance. Absolutely. So you have A is excellent, B is good, C is average, D is dumbass, and F is failure. So I don't necessarily think just because you don't get A is a failure. That's my difference.
So then for you, an A is making the playoffs, a B is 8 wins, and a C is everything else.
Below 8 wins is a failure.
Yeah. Now, they lost a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think a step back is appropriate.
Correct.
I'm not going to hold them to this. You have to win the national title every year because you're Michigan and 1,000 wins and all this other BS. They put their quarterback in the NFL, their running back in the NFL, the entire offensive line, their head coach, most of the staff. The defense should still be good. They should be in a lot of low-scoring games. I think part of the appeal to Sharone is some continuity up front, offensive line, keep churning and developing another wave. They've had multiple iterations over this 3-year span where they've won the Big Ten. To me, while a drop-off is expected, a fall-off is not allowed. Playoffs are the expectation for the Wolverines. 10 wins definitely get you in. 9 wins put you at the mercy. You got to beat somebody significant that would get them to 10. That would be a successful season.
I think we're going to get into the semantical argument. I just believe that failure is... I'm trying to figure out how to say this properly without being come off as a complete dope. When you lose as many people as they have, I think you have to be realistic. And if your realistic expectations are at a certain level and you may be one game or whatever below that, that doesn't make it a complete failure. I think that too many Michigan fans are sitting there, 11-1, we're going to be 11-1. Now, I sometimes go on the other, the low end. Doom. The joke was, you know, they're Iowa, which for a while they were with their 8-9 wins every year. But you know, that's. I think I'm realistic when I look at this football team. You have an unproven quarterback, which is the most important position in sports. You really have an unproven head coach.
Yes.
So that's why I feel the way I feel.
I feel like Sharone Moore getting the job, though, is a vote of keeping this thing afloat, mm-hmm. as opposed to, hey, we're starting over with somebody else, a new vision. Maybe I'd give him a little more grace. The fact that it's a promotion from within, and it's the thing that flipped the program, the offensive line winning in the trenches in their biggest rivalry game. By the end of the season, when they go to Columbus, it's not okay if Sharone's team isn't ready to play in that game.
Oh, that's true, too. But the other thing is that what made this team so special, and I think John would agree with this part of my argument or whatever, is that team was a lot of self-led by the players. And when you lose that many players, that, you know,
the leadership
inside is very difficult to duplicate. And that's why my realistic expectations are 9-3.
For the Spartans, you want to go first with this one too?
Sure. I think if they win 6 games, it's a successful season.
Yeah. Bowl eligibility, mm-hmm. year one, Jonathan Smith.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm really looking forward to seeing the quarterback, see how good Childs is. Because you've seen some of the videos from when he played at Oregon State a little bit last year. And there are flashes of just excitement and brilliance, but he's still a very young player.
Michigan State has a stretch in their schedule, the middle of the schedule, which I think is arguably the toughest in the country, where they'll play Ohio State, Oregon, Iowa, and Michigan in a 5-week span. Mm-hmm. There's a little bye week nestled in there. It's catch your breath. if they can survive that stretch, I don't mean like win those games. I mean, mentally and physically still be in the fight. They don't quit, end the season with a couple big wins. Well, big wins are relative at that point. But to me, they would be big wins. Get to six, get to a foundation spot, get to a bowl game, those extra practices, get your program up off the mat. I think six wins is what I think a successful season for Michigan State in year one is too. We're not fighting about that.
No.
Now, getting there is not a given.
No.
Because they do have to overhaul the program. Jonathan Smith at Oregon State had some big offensive linemen that could sink their, you know, their teeth into you. That doesn't happen overnight.
No.
And Childs may steal a game or two, which is part of the fun in watching them this season, is does he, like, I don't know. Are they better than Rutgers this season? Are they better than Indiana even this season? I don't know, but could Childs steal one of those flash?
Did you see Rutgers' schedule? They're a sneaky over bet.
We cash the tickets out, part one and part two as of today, I think, and we both like Rutgers. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Kind of like Nebraska, too, but we've done that before. Yeah. Stop me if you've heard this. This is the year for Nebraska. Kind of down on Wisconsin. Yeah. There's going to be, Stoney, I know people know the Big Ten's bigger. Let me tell you, when we sat down to do 18 teams and preview them, I'm like, oh my God, it's like almost 2 hours in the podcast studio. And I'm not complaining. I love doing it, but we had to make it into two different episodes because there's just so many teams in the Big Ten now with Washington and Oregon and UCLA, who's going to be terrible. USC, a fun fight for Valeni and I, some good stuff. But we agree, 6-6 for the Spartans is a successful season. How likely are they to get there, Stoney?
Well,
and the same question for Michigan. How likely are they both to achieve what we deem to be success?
Although Boston College is not horrible and it's a road game, I think they can win that game. So I think they're going to win their three non-conference games. That's three.
And then the question is early, do they go to Maryland and win?
Probably not.
So 3-1 start.
Okay, so
then the gauntlet, would they lose all four? They'll be 3-4. Now you got to catch yourself so you don't slide all the way down.
Illinois and Purdue, you can win two of those three, and there's your, is that your, is that good?
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you get a six or five?
Indiana, Illinois, and Purdue. You have to win all three to get to six, assuming you don't beat Rutgers. So that's where Childs has to steal one.
And Rutgers is a home game to close out
it
the
is,
season.
November 30th. Yeah, big rivalry game between the Spartans and the Rutgers Scarlet
Knights. What happened to the Land Grant Trophy?
It didn't need to stay. I'm fine with it being gone.
I know. I'm just
And it's not kidding. Like, MSU, you want to squeeze in Penn State in the schedule too?
Yes.
No, thank you. For Michigan, how likely is it that they achieve the 9 wins that you've set out or the 10 wins that I would want to hold them to?
I think 9 is pretty doable. It should be. I mean, you think they could beat USC at home, and you look at your losses and you say, yeah, they might lose to Texas, they might lose to Oregon, and they might lose at Ohio State. Other than that,
they should beat everybody else in the schedule.
They should beat everybody else in the schedule.
On the sheer weight of their defense alone, right?
Yes. I mean, Minnesota on the road, who knows? Yeah. But I think they'll win.
Yeah.
You know, they'll have a game where you're going to sit there and, you know, Orgy or whoever the quarterback is might have too many turnovers and it'll be a closer game than you would anticipate. But no, they should win 9 games.
Do you expect Orgy to be the quarterback? I know they're doing this like 5-man rotation right now. They got to whittle that down.
I expect him to be the starter. But I think they're going to use both.
The belief is that they're going to try to run a pretty heavy RPO with Orgy as a starter.
You get the
That's what most people think. And so you got Donovan Edwards, featured running back, strong offensive interior line to where he has game-breaking ability. He's proven that. I mean, that's his bread and butter. And then the element of surprise with Orgy legs, and that will open up easy open passes downfield. The belief.
Yeah, I'll play into Stoney's hands. You know whose brand of football they may play this year? Iowa. Run it, play defense.
They did that scoring. Last year they when they. I mean, they only opened it up when they had to. I mean, that's the thing I think you guys are dismissing here, the defense. I would say right now that they would be the favorite had the number one defense in the country. They have three guys that are being mocked top 20.
Right.
So two top 10.
Mason Graham, I thought I saw someone had him number one overall. It's rare that an interior D lineman goes number one. But the fact that he's in the conversation, I think the world of him. We all know Will Johnson.
Yeah, and then Kenneth Grant, too, is being mocked in most top 20. So I think we always get trapped into, especially in college, forgetting about the defensive side of the ball. And when's the last time the team with the best defense in the country probably didn't win 10 games? I mean, it's probably, I'm throwing a dart out there because I don't know the answer to it, but it's probably pretty rare.
So the argument for Michigan is you do get Oregon and Texas at home. I think they're better teams. You get them at home. And Ohio State, you're their daddy. I mean, you can bully them. You feel like you're not intimidated. They have a Michigan problem. The roles are reversed.
So
could they win one of those big three games? Yes, and that's what I'm saying. Like, yes, for that could, to be yes. a successful season, I think they need to, because if they don't, like, okay, what does it say if Quinn Ewers carves up this defense in the Big House, and then Dylan Gabriel, who has, I think, the best set of offensive weapons passing game in the Big Ten, if he carves them up too, and then you lose to Ohio State, it's like, okay, you're not that good then. The defense wasn't that good.
I agree with you. I believe they'll beat Texas. I think there's huge conference differences here. Just because Texas is in the SEC right now doesn't mean they're an SEC team. Like, I thought last year the playoff exposed the opportunity that both Washington and Texas got. Like, I wish the matchups were different last year, because I'm a Big Ten SEC guy, and just because these teams have changed conferences now, Washington's not really a Big Ten team yet. Texas isn't really an SEC team yet, and I think them coming here and with this defense, I need Michigan to win that game. I'm going to be pretty disappointed if they don't win that, and I think Jim is on to something then that, you know, what's a 9-3 season when you lose your big three games? And so that's why I think the Texas game is crucial. I think Oregon is a big wild card right now, because same thing applies. They're a Pac-12 team that couldn't even beat Washington last year. So I think they're sound to play in the Big Ten, but do they have the talent to win? And the fact that that game's here is huge, I think. And then Ohio State, somebody brought it up the first time we talked about this earlier. Their schedule, it's unbelievable how easy it is.
Yes.
They go to Oregon, but besides that, like, their non-cons are Akron, Western, and Marshall.
Yeah, they're all but locked in for 11 or more.
That was the Big Ten saying F you, Michigan.
It was. You know, but if Michigan's defense is number one in the country, and somehow they got to 11-0 and they're going to Columbus. Hey.
Sure. I think you're sleeping on Oregon a little bit. Lanning has been building kind of an SEC blueprint. They've put in top 10 classes the last 2 years. Right. Heavy emphasis on the defense and defensive line.
And the offensive line.
Well, Cristobal left them with a good offensive line, and they've continued that. And they got two good athletic tackles. They went to the SEC to get a big receiver from Texas A&M. They still have Tez Johnson back from last year's team. And Dylan Gabriel, for as much as Ohio State's been the best passing team in the Big Ten for years, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be Oregon this year.
I feel like these teams changing conferences, the depth of the conferences they're entering is really going to pay a price, make them pay a price more than they're used to.
That's true of all teams. Michigan's going to have to deal with more big games on their schedule too, because now you have to play these heavy hitters in conference.
Right, but the thing is that I believe the depth of the Big Ten is way better than the depth of what the Pac-12 was,
true,
or the Big 12.
But
are in for a little bit of a rude awakening week in, week out. Do they have the athletes to stand up? They proved it last year in the playoff and in head-to-head opportunities that they didn't.
They were softies.
Texas and Washington were softies.
Well, Texas Washington was a good game. I mean,
because softy played softy.
Yeah, but I think Oregon is different than the
weren't they in it last year?
I mean, because the other team had Michael Penix, and I know you'll say the Oregon had Bo Nix. I think Washington had a special quarterback last year, and I just think Oregon.
We'll see.
Oregon is just built differently than the other. It's not. I'm not talking about how USC is going to come in here or Washington. This Washington team, or obviously UCLA.
Don't lump them all in.
No,
Oregon's not those
different.
Other.
Yes.
But I can go back to last year. I'll tell you right now. I think the four best teams were Michigan, Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State. And that's why I feel the way that I do. I'm consistent with this. I'm kind of with John on the 8 or 9 Big Ten SEC teams are going to be in the playoff.
Gross.
Prove me, other teams.
Well, okay, and I've been accused of being a Big Ten defender a time or two, but I think you're going a little far with this depth argument. I mean, the Big Ten still has Northwestern, Purdue, Indiana, Illinois, a bad UCLA team. Like, it's not like the Big Ten is a, you know, 14, 15 team gauntlet. They still have that. Right.
And I will ask you this. When's the last time a Big 12 or Pac 12 team won a national title?
Probably, what, USC?
Well, Texas.
Yeah.
I'm resting on the fact that the only teams
outside
the Big Ten and SEC to win a natty were Clemson teams with Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, yeah. 97.1.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.